When we went to do oversight in Mpumalanga, we decided to buy a coaching. But thank you very much, and welcome. We are starting that process of budget review and recommendation process. And as usual, what we normally do when we start that process, we start with the AG. The AG's office must give us their observations and what they have done. Now, you know normally that we have 8 entities, but the AG only does 2 from those 8 entities. The CISOC and the NHPRC and the department. So the other entities are not done by the AG's office, but they will make a comment on them. And so that's, you know, by the way, but they don't put it there. So we'll start with them to present to us on those three that they are doing. They are the big ones, because at least the department is covered almost everything. So I'm going to hand over to them. They will introduce themselves, and then they will do the presentation. I know that they have a very hectic schedule. So as one presentation is done, we will allow some of them to slip out to go to the other committee. But at least we will have one of them staying with us throughout the day. But we will have to excuse them. Unfortunately, today I saw their schedule. They are dealing with 8 committees. Mm. I forgive them. Mm. But they are starting with us. So over to you, Office of the AG. We will hand over to you. We will introduce yourself and then.
Good morning, sir, and good morning, members. Thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Tonai Maver, and the Human Digital and Portfolio is one of the companies that I'm responsible for. With me is Ahmed Muller, he's the senior manager, and he will take us through the presentation. And Cecil Mahuma, she's our assistant manager at Human Digital, and so she will stay when Ahmed and myself use for the next meeting. Annually we do our regularity audit, and it's therefore a pleasure that we can now present to you what is the end result of the work that we've been doing in 2016-17. And in terms of the officer's commitment and reputation promise, we really audit to make a difference, and we really audit to enable the committee to enhance oversight. So we hope that the presentation will assist you in that role that you've got. And then obviously we are available for questions afterwards for any clarification. So thank you very much for this opportunity. I'll hand over to Ahmed.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. The role, our role is to reflect on the work performed to assist you in your oversight and in the budgetary review and recommendations report preparing for the portfolio for the National Department. And what we have is the audit outcome for the Department of Human Settlements, the National Homeless Legislation Council, and for the CSOT. So the annual audit is examined in 3 important areas. The one is the financial statements. The financial statements included in the annual report, as well as the reliability and credibility of the performance information, the predetermined objectives, or the report against predetermined objectives, and compliance with key legislation on financial and performance management. Our focus on the Public Finance Management Act and its treasury regulations or the related regulations. The audit opinion is split up into 5 different categories. Your focus is on is more on an unqualified opinion with no finding. Most of your entities are lying with financially unqualified opinion with findings. Those findings, unqualified opinion talks to the financial statements, and with findings talks about findings on performance information or predetermined objectives and compliance with legislation. Unfortunately, you have one qualification also in your portfolio, which is on CSOS. And this is where the financial statements have material misstatements in areas in the financial statements. So it has amounts in the financial statements which are not correct or have not been corrected. There unfortunately has been a regression in the audit outcomes in the current year. Previously in 15-16, all of the audits were unqualified worth findings. Unfortunately, CSOS has regressed to financially qualified worth findings. So this was the first year that CSOS had to account for revenue that is generated from levies. The Act came into play in 1st January 2017, and CSOS was unable to accurately and completely account for revenue that is from revenue from this levy. There was a further qualification of contingent liabilities, and the entity generated a surplus for the year, but that surplus can only be kept with them or retained by them with the approval of National Treasury, and was supposed to be disclosed as a contingent liability and was not done so. That then resulted in a further qualification. When it comes to compliance with legislation, it remains a concern in this portfolio. I mean, if you look at your bar graph there, you'll see in all of them from 14-15 up to 16-17 have significant non-compliance reported on in the audit report. Material adjustments are being made to the financial statements, which resulted in the non-compliance, as well as the incurrence of irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. So the controls are not yet mature enough in the environment to prevent this irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. There was no unauthorized expenditure. This is a concern. Definitely a concern and an area where intervention is required. When it comes to the quality of performance lens and the quality of submitted annual performance reports, and that is the third, the last graph on the right-hand side, the last two graphs, we audit the performance information at two levels. The one level is to look at the usefulness of the information. So that's what I'm referring to is, in the annual report of the Department of CSOS and NHPRC, there's a report against the predetermined objectives. So if you look at that report, we audit it in two ways. One is to see if the information there is useful. It means that those indicators and those targets are compliant with the criteria determined by National Treasury. In a simple manner, are those indicators well-defined, and are those targets smart? Have they reported consistently between planning and reporting documents? Have they indicated everything that they were supposed to include in an annual performance plan? So from a usefulness perspective, there were no significant issues. In fact, there were no material issues or findings reported on in the management or in the audit report. Unfortunately, from a reliability perspective, we've reported at the National Department as well as the NHPRC that some information in the annual performance report could not be appropriately substantiated. So we reported material findings in the audit report. If we look at the report on human settlements, it refers to the eradication of cycle disease. Unfortunately, there's a further issue with the performance report in that it contains, when submitted for audit, it contains numerous misstatements and errors which are not identified by the department, which are corrected but are identified by my processes. This remains a concern, and there's some effort that needs to go into ensuring that proper performance reports are prepared on an annual basis or quarterly basis. The intervention and commitments are required in order to improve the status of the overall audit outcome. It is possible to get to a clean audit for the Department of Human Settlements and NHPRC, without much difficulty. So we need to strengthen controls in pertaining to performance management to address the material findings on the reliability of the performance information. The key concerns relating to leadership, governance, and performance management at CSOS has to be improved as a matter of urgency, so they can come out of a qualification and move into a possible unqualified area or unqualified space. So leadership must ensure that there's proper action plans in place. And these action plans address the root causes. Basically, they've got to identify and create plans that will address the issues that we've identified during the audit process. Pertaining to the assurance provided by senior management and the accounting authorities, definitely needs to be enhanced. Accounting authority at CSOS, definitely. And this can be achieved by developing and implementing post-audit action plans to address the audit findings. The internal audit and audit committees must focus on improvement in key controls And we've also assessed the portfolio committee as providing assurance as they perform the legislative oversight requirements and engages the department on its role and mandate. So we look at the assurance of providers per level, which is those graphs on my right here. You'll see that at CSOAR, there's senior management and the county authority are providing a limited amount of assurance. At the department in NHBRC, senior management is providing some assurance. So see, at senior management level, there is a concern, and management needs to now implement the recommendations again from audit. The quality of the annual performance plan and analysis of expenditure per program versus the performance achievement. The National Department of Human Settlements budgets to spend about 30 billion, budgeted to spend 30 billion rand in the 2016-17 financial year, and spent in the region of 30.5 billion. So it spent 99% of its budget. However, if we look at the last column there, it's highlighted in red, you'll see that only 51% of its targets were achieved. So it's spending 30.5 billion, 99.6% of its budget, but 51% of its targets are achieved. So these targets are those targets set out in the annual report or in the annual performance report, which is included in the annual report. Then I'd like to draw your attention to look at program 2, reliability. There was a material finding in program 2, which budgets to spend about 86.6 million rand. So this is at a very high level in its spending versus its targets, compared to its targets, the achievement of its targets. One of the key programs within the Department of Human Settlements is the Human Settlements Development Grant. It allocated about 18.2 billion rand from the estimates of national expenditure, and spent in the region of about that much. That 18.2 billion rand is for the Human Settlements Development Grant, which is transferred from national human settlements to the 9 different provincial departments. Okay? If we look at it, when we we looked at 4 provinces which did not meet the delivery of their target. However, 90% of provinces are spent, or 90% of the grant was spent in 9 provinces. So this is like a comparison of achievement versus spending. If we get the key findings on the Human Settlements Development Grant, you'll see that there were supply chain management processes which were not followed in projects which resulted in irregular expenditure in 3 states, in Mpumalanga and Gauteng. Non-compliance with DORA was reported in Gauteng, and there's 2 provinces which had an overachievement of their delivery. However, there were 7 provinces which under-delivered on their delivery programs today. And this is a nice summary where you can see the grant spent in blue. And you'll see that most of them spent more than 95% of their grant. Okay? The lowest are 91% only in Northwest, but everybody else was above 95%. But you'll also see that the plan site service as well as the houses built in some areas were significantly underachieved. For instance, in Northwest, 78% of plan site service and 74% of plan houses built. So here you're comparing how much was planned and how much is actually achieved. High percentages not achieved in some areas. And if we look at the audit outcomes, now these are the audit outcomes for the 9 different provincial departments. They all have their own, they're separate from the National Human Settlements. They all have their own accounting offices and a report to the legislatures in those provinces. However, if you see it, there were 3 provinces which received qualified audit opinions. When analyzed, you'll see it's Free State, Limpopo, and Northwest, which received qualifications. You'll also see that the preparation of accurate and complete financial statements is a concern, as 5 provinces had material misstatements that were corrected. If we look down, it's more of a concern in the compliance space. High levels in many departments, in 7 departments, unauthorized or irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. There were material findings reported in this regard in the audit report of irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. Again, set payments made to suppliers within 30 days remains a concern at 5 provincial departments. And procurement and contract management are concerned at 7 of 9 departments. That means it was reported in 7 of the 9 departments. When it came to the report against predetermined objectives, usefulness remains an issue at 6 departments, reliability at 8 departments and connections made at 7 departments. So this is not painting a very fruitful or very positive picture. If you look at the compliance with what legislation and the predetermined objectives. If you look at the predetermined objectives audit, that is an audit which is around the actual performance of those departments. So it's looking at the reporting against the annual performance plan, actual achievement. So this is the core of what that funding is for. So these annual performance plans would indicate the title deeds, the amount of title deeds that were backlogged, the amount of houses that were built. So in some areas, the auditors couldn't, or we couldn't verify what the department is reporting on. This is a significant issue. So it brings into question, what has happened with that 30 billion rand? To what extent is what the departments are reporting on actually accurate and complete? This is just a narrative in which explains the graph before it. And the key one here is the third block, which talks about irregular expenditure and compliance. It talks about 900 million then irregular incurred in three states, 750 million incurred in Mpumalanga, 559 million incurred in the KZN, and 300 million included in or incurred in Gauteng. So we see that at 8 provincial departments, there are inadequate systems to collect, collate, and verify the performance information to ensure valid, accurate, and complete information is reported upon. At 6 provincial departments, usefulness was reported as a concern. That means that there were in 6 provinces the indicators and targets were not actually prepared in terms of the national strategic criteria. Not all of them, but some of them, and but some were material indicators. Compliance with legislation and poor quality of financial statements is the next graph. As talked about the material misstatements submitted in the annual financial statements, which remain the concern at the department and at resource. Prevention of unauthorized and irregular expenditure are concerned at human settlements, the NHVRC and CSOS, at all entities. There was irregular and fruitless expenditure, which is a regression from the previous year, as human settlements did not have any irregular expenditure the previous year. The management of contract and of procurement and contract management remains a concern at the NHVRC. It was reported at CSOS in 2015-16, but not this year. The qualification areas over the last 2 years, well, there was only this was the first time it was a qualification over the past 3 years in this portfolio. And as I explained earlier, it was at CSOS on the revenue and the contingent liabilities. All of these were avoided qualifications due to corrections of material misstatements during the audit is at the National Department of Human Settlements and at CSOS. Basically what happens here is the department and the entity submit financial statements to us and are required to do so on the 31st of May. And these financial statements that were submitted contained misstatements, they contained errors, a lot of errors. And they get corrected and ultimately these financial statements are correct. But these financial statements are being corrected because of how my processes as an auditor rather than the department's process. So we are being used to clean up the financial statement. You understand? Mm-hmm. This is the same thing that's happening with the annual performance report. An annual performance report is being cleaned up because of my processes and not the department's processes. So people are and at CSOS and at NHVRC. So they're not preparing complete and accurate reports. Now you must bear in mind that I audited the last one, the fourth quarter, you know, the entire year consolidated. You're getting information every quarter from the department, from CSOS, from Human Settlement, from NHVRC. To what extent what they're giving you and what they're reporting to you is valid, accurate, and complete? Because I can tell you that there isn't adequate processes to ensure that the information they're giving to you is complete and accurate. Okay? So we've reported these things in an audit report. With regards to unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, no unauthorized expenditure is incurred in the portfolio. About 1.7 million rand fruitless and wasteful expenditure in the current year and 2 million rand irregular expenditure. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure are unpacked on the site. Most of that was at the department where they rented vehicles when vehicles were available. That was about 1.6 million rand. NHBRC interest and CSOS cancellation fee. At 22 million rand of irregular expenditure, that is instances of non-compliance with the procurement precepts at the department and at NHVRC. However, at CSOL, the irregular expenditure was mainly due to the exceeding budget limits. The top four root causes, when we try to unpack why these findings are occurring, recurring, we try to get an understanding of why this happens so we can make recommendations and if we can share with you what can be done to address these issues. And mostly these findings are recurring is because of management not responding to the findings raised by the Auditor General by internal audit. And these are all of the entities. So the action plans that they're preparing are not adequate. And there's instability of vacancies in key positions at CISO. So there weren't enough skills in finance or people in finance to make sure that the revenue was accounted for accurately and completed. Consequence management also an issue. People are not being held accountable, and that's why findings then recur. And officials are acting in the best interest of the audit team, managing the financial and performance affairs of the entity. There have been commitments made by the minister in the past. Most of these commitments are still in progress. And it's also what commitments with the CFO will report monthly to the accounting officer on the action plan to address findings. Our accounting officer must report quarterly to the audit committee and portfolio committees, and progress on the action plan must be reviewed by the audit committee on a quarterly basis. So these kind of commitments have been continuously monitored and assessed by us. We'd like to see them all resolved now rather than in progress. We've made some proposed commitments. And these commitments were for the portfolio committee in their oversight of the department and the entity. And we're saying that we must request management to provide feedback on the implementation and progress of action plans. But also request management to provide quarterly feedback on the status of controls and request quarterly feedback on the process of progress on filling of vacancies at CISO. The list of actions taken against transgressors must also be provided shortly to the portfolio committee for follow-up for all irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. These are proposed commitments to assist in getting to clean audit outcomes. And we have other entities in this portfolio, in the human settlements portfolio. However, these are not audited by the audit agenda. And most of these entities, except for Estate Agency of Transport and Nurture, receive clean audits. Nurture and the asset agency, Nurture was unqualified with some findings, and the affairs board was qualified with findings. There's been some changes in our environment as auditors. We've enhanced our audit methodology. The methodology's focus is on the auditors now focusing more on obtaining a deeper understanding of the entity and its environment so that we can address and we can focus more on things that matter. It is a world-class audit methodology. It's been tested internationally, and we've shared with all our stakeholders, including the departments, and the impact of this methodology. But if what was ultimately resulting is a more valuable and relevant product. So this has been implemented, and you can see the output now. Like now, if you look at the audit outcome of human settlements, you'll see the focus on if you look at the audit report of the findings that we had on the material indicator relating to the number of faculties that was eradicated, that is like a direct result of the new audit methodology. The last slide that I have here before I conclude is a correlation between accountability, corruption, and the impact on service delivery. It is an inverse relationship between accountability and corruption. Is that the less accountability that there is, the higher the corruption there will be. And the more accountability, then the less corruption. So it's all about accountability and accounting for these public funds and taking responsibility. It also talks to taking consequences for transgressions and for performances. Chairperson, in conclusion, that is then the audit outcomes for this portfolio. It can be improved, and I don't think it's impossible to get clean audits from the points of NHPRC and human settlements. There is some effort that's required. There's a lot more effort that's going to be required at CSOS to get to a clean audit. There's systems that have a proper automated systems that will have to be developed and implemented to ensure that CISO is able to properly and accurately account for revenue. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Amit, for that presentation. Well, the comfort is that it does confirm some of our concerns that we've been raising, not the members. But this is your opportunity to ask for questions of clarity. Remember, the purpose of this interaction with the AG's office is to arm you, to be ready to interact with the entities and the department which you are interacting with them in the afternoon. So ask questions that are going to make you intelligent, so that in the afternoon, when you interact with the department, they don't know what has hit them. So that's the main purpose. Clarity that are going to make you understand. I'm opening up for those questions and clarity. Not unless you are saying you are far. Honorable Stoney, Honorable Soli, seems like I got those two hands for now.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the presenter. Actually, this document helps us to understand the department, the department. But what I want to find out, during your engagement with the accounting officer, what was the outcome in terms of the results? Because it shows that there's a few challenges on results.
What are the
other points on the subject?
Thank you.
Honorable Manager. Thanks, Chair. To be equally brief, I'm more curious in an elaboration on the status of CISOs, because there's an imperative there to key internal controls not being effective enough, and also there's a reference to there's a reference to its regression and the fact that, you know, it was the first financial cycle in which they were collecting levies. And I'm more curious as to, was that a major contributory factor to their financial performance? And linked to that is the whole reference made in the report about key controls relating to leadership, where there can be improvement, you know. I mean, leadership can mean anything to us on this side. Is it managerial leadership? Is it executive leadership? And what are those key improvements? I know here we talk about more in terms of scrutiny, planning well, you know, proper allocation of resources and that, but if you can get more of an elaboration on that. And again, I think for the department, it's just a minor issue. With regards to irregular spending, for instance, on vehicles, you know, when you engage the department, you know, what's the sort of response there? Because here you highlight that, sure, there was this expenditure in cash and it could have been avoided because, you know, these resources are available internally. But, you know, what's being brought forward for incurring this expenditure that can really be avoided? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Maybe before you respond, some of your audit outcomes are not new. Some you've made these findings before, and you've made some recommendations to the department before. When you went back to them to audit them now, what was your own assessment on compliance with the recommendations that you have made previously in terms of them trying to improve? And I'm raising that particularly in relation to NHBRC, which I know that you have made certain recommendations. Secondly, if you can elaborate more on the title deed report, just for us to understand it better, Just if you can just probably talk more about it, so that we hear more, because I know you've made some reference to it, just so that we can unpack it again. Thank you so much.
Thank you for this question. You know, we've been continuously engaging management and CISOs. And their response is, so we've actually provided a warning to CISOs. We've provided a warning that the audit report serves as a warning, as a qualification. Why is this a severe qualification on the revenue? So in our engagements with them, management has begun, and CISOs, the accounting authority, and the members of that board understand now the full implications of not having that system. So there is sort of a commitment from management and from the board in developing a system to account for the levy. That is then the issue. That is then the key issue at CISOs when it comes to the accounting is to account for the revenue generated from these levies which came into effect this year. Management is in the process of researching what system they can implement to account for the levies properly. To account for the levies properly and completely, it actually requires to identify all of the community schemes in South Africa. Our understanding is that there is no system or database currently in place to account for these levies. So the CISOs is currently engaging SAS at the moment and a few other entities to try and determine and prepare and plan a system that can be implemented to account for them. So in response to your question, CISOs is in the process. I think that it's taking some time to get to a system because they should have known this fact about 3 years ago now, about 4 years ago. They should have known that they need to develop a system. So it's late in the day. However, then there needs to be intervention and pressure on CISOs to go and prepare some or implement and develop some sort of a system. The status of CISOs, the major contributory factor towards the qualification and the concerns at CISOs is, like how I explained, and the regression is also due to this revenue issue. It wasn't there before. They weren't required to collect revenue. Now they are. And as soon as they had to, it had a huge implication on the audit outcome of CISOs. And that's definitely revenue is the major contributory factor towards the regression in CISOs. If I could elaborate on leadership, when I speak about leadership and we spoke about it, there's intervention required. There's different responsibilities that leadership fulfill as an organization. And there's different levels of leadership also. There's the accounting authority and the accounting officer, which is one level of leadership. And there's senior management. And the director general or the deputy director general, the chief directors form another level of leadership. And effective leadership is providing ethical and setting the tone at the top is what leadership should be doing also. They also need to provide oversight responsibility. And that's like if you use CISOs as an example and the revenue issue. The accounting authority should play a part in ensuring that a system is in place. They need to have an understanding of what this problem is. They need to play a role in terms of putting pressure on management in finding solutions. They need to review the solutions and consider the solutions that management has come up with. They need to set timelines for management, give them some time, and then hold them to that timeline and hold them accountable. That's how you exercise responsibility. They need to listen to us. They need to engage with us, like how we engage, at the audit committee, one-on-one engagements with audit committees and the chairperson of the board, and help and understand and let me help them explain to them what the issue is. So that's providing enabling oversight, but also but so much in holding management accountable to solution. In providing effective HR management is also what leadership needs to do. They need to be skilled resources and there needs to be enough resources. There needs to be capacity and properly skilled people to be able to find solutions to issues. And also that the entity is directed by policies and procedures, so it also needs to be in place. So leadership also has to play a huge role in following up with management if the findings in previous years have been resolved. So what is the progress against resolving findings that have been raised by the AG and Intel already previous years? So we've raised this issue about revenue. It should feature as part of an action plan also. Progress. You can't have a huge issue like qualification and nothing happens about it, and nobody's following up about it. It's leadership's responsibility to ensure that management is doing something about it. And ICT governance, do we have the information technology to address this? Boards normally have information technology specialists who sit on them, at least one. So that person should also get advice. So leadership has a huge role. And these are the different elements that they need to address or look at in providing effective leadership. So the root causes of what's happening at CSOS and at department in HBRC but rather I reiterate it and leave you with a message, and that management needs to do something about it. It says there's no response by management. They need to start responding to this thing. They need to start. I've seen in environment, and it's common, it's actually common sense, in that in good environments or auditees or clients with clean audits, immediately, as soon as there's an issue put on the table by the auditors, immediately management starts responding to it. Almost within days, they find solutions, and they don't sleep, and they work hard in finding a solution. So management needs to respond. They need to act if there's a finding raised by the auditor. They need to stop, go, come out of the denial phase and move into a phase of finding a solution. Recommendations? We wanted more detail on the title team's report. The department set an objective, and rather it's an indicator in the annual performance report. It falls under program 2. There's an indicator for title teams to be eradicated. The number is set in the region of about 100,000 people for the... It's set at 100,000 title teams to be eradicated in the 16-17 year, mainly providing people who have been previously provided with housing, in giving them now a title deed from the house. This is a backlog, and it's a common, also well-known issue. The department then reports in the 2016-17 annual report an amount of 67,500 or 450,000 title deeds which have been eradicated. My job, and as part of an audit, I need to verify the accuracy of that number, the accuracy, the validity, and the completeness of that number. Is that number correct? And the department could not provide me with sufficient evidence that number is correct. That's basically, in its simplest format, that is what the title issue was. Our responsibility as auditors, in terms of the annual performance report and the financial statement, is to verify the correctness of the amount, basically to see if everything is correct. And then we make recommendations, and then we make recommendations and we report and we share our reports with all of our people. Chairperson, at best, I think I tried to respond to all of those queries.
I don't know if you answered the one that I asked about the audit. For some of the audit findings are not the first time that you've made, yeah?
Yes.
And yeah, that question.
Sorry, I should have said that. And it's probably the thing that sits in the forefront of my mind, in that I table audit reports on an annual basis. But what I'm tabling is the same kind of information every year. The same findings on irregular expenditure, procurement and contract management, supplies not paid within 30 days. It's the same kind of issues which are recurring year after year after year. And it's talking about to what extent and the effectiveness of management's commitment to addressing these findings. So none of these issues are new issues. Usefulness in those provinces, reliability of information, non-compliance with legislation, the fact that the audit outcome has been elevated and shared on an annual basis and discussed at quarterly meetings, yet there is no response, there's little improvement, yet in your portfolio is actually a regression. So definitely a good structure. Chairperson, there was a question on irregular expenditure, and it actually related to the vehicle issue at the Department of Human Settlement. It was actually considered in wasteful expenditure. It was the use of vehicles when the department actually had vehicles available. The department's response to this, if you can help me out.
The department's response with regards to this was that the vehicle was for the minister.
Okay. No, thank you. Are you done?
Jefferson, yes. Thank you, Jefferson. We've attended to most of the queries. Management on each of the findings, in each of the findings that we do raise, do implement some sort of action to address the finding going forward. So with regards to the vehicles, management will now, they can come and explain as to the extent of it. They've accepted it as a finding from the Auditor General. They will do, I think they're in a better position to respond to the query than I am too. And they also require to, in terms of the public finance management, to perform some sort of an investigation. Always not a detailed appointing a forensic investigator might not be necessary, but obtain a proper understanding of what will happen. So it's now at management to go and identify who and what is, who should be held accountable and who is responsible for this. The best I can respond. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ahmed. Maybe the, just your last word as the team. If you could you confirm in the issue of the achievement of the target that the department has managed to achieve 51% of the target but spent almost all the money. If maybe you can, and just for my own clarity, this is mainly on the HSDG. Could you then say this is mainly the performance of the provinces? I just want to have that clarity in my mind. This is probably the effect of the performance of the provinces because the HSDG is transferred to provinces and therefore those targets are the targets that are supposed to be met by the province, which then are supposed to reflect on the department overall. If you can just to confirm that for me.
Chairman, you're referring to slide 12. In slide 12, it sets out what was budgeted for each program at the National Department of Human Settlements. Let me just clarify the slide. The total budgeted expenditure, or according to the estimates of national expenditure, was about 30.6 billion. The department then spent 99.6%, so we're talking about the National Department of Human Settlements. The total number of planned targets were 57 at the department, of which they achieved 29 of these targets. So 51% of the targets that were planned are 51% of the 57. So of the 57 targets that the department planned, 51% of these targets were achieved. That means half of these targets were achieved. However, 99.6% of the budget was expended. So this relates to the National Department of Human Settlements. And program in the Human Settlements Development Grant falls under Program 3. Mm. And if we look at Program 3, there's 23 targets that were planned, yet 10 targets were achieved, which is 43% of the planned targets.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, the team. I think we we're quite happy with your report and the interaction. We hope I've said this before, and I know you get busy more towards the end. I've said this before. You don't have to wait for this time to come to this portfolio committee. Whenever there is red flag, or you feel that there's something that you want to appraise us with, you don't have to wait for this time to come. You are welcome to make a request to come and see us at any time of the year and come and interact with us, because it assists us as well to have that interaction with you. It must not be an interaction that happens once a year. We love you too much that we must see you only once a year. So I'm just reiterating that feel free to interact with us anytime. Thank you very much.
Okay.
That takes us to the end, which I guess it gives the committee time to grab something to eat and have coffee, because the next input will be starting in about 30 minutes time, so at least you have time to collect yourselves together and have something to eat and food.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that.